Amen. Thank you for that special. And thank you for Christ, our Savior. Praise God for Him. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. It has been a crazy couple of weeks. Had teen camp and had a great time at teen camp. Saw the Lord move in a lot of young people's hearts and a lot of adults' hearts. A lot of people revived and then had the chance to be a part, the blessing to be a part of the revival at Liberty Missionary Baptist Church in Greenwood, Arkansas. I was blessed to be a part of that, and then had our big outreach last night. And so it's been a busy couple of weeks, and my flesh is tired. Anybody else feel that today? But man, my spirit is full. God has been so good. We saw a man saved on outreach last Sunday. Knocked on a lot of doors, and a man who was lost when the guys went in, he was saved when they went out. And God has been so good, and we just pray that He'll continue to bless. And I'm just so excited about what the Lord's been doing. I always want to do my best when I stand to preach. I want to do my best, number one, for the glory of God. And I want to do my best for you. Believe it or not, I think your time is valuable. I don't want to waste your time. I want to encourage you, and I want you to come away from the message today encouraged in your hearts, equipped by the Word of God to go and do the will of God, and just to have an excitement today. You just want to do a good job. I told you before about the pilot who had a particularly rough landing. And you remember, have any of you ever flown commercially before? All right, most of you have. And back in the day, I don't know if they still do this with COVID and everything else, but back in the day, after the landing, when everybody's getting off the airplane, the pilot would kind of stand there. It's like the pastor at the end of the sermon. He would stand there and just shake hands with everybody, you know. And he had a really bad landing, and he was just waiting for it, you know. He was just waiting for somebody to come by and be like, what in the world happened? And, you know, give him a hard time about the landing. And to his surprise, nobody had a negative comment. And then there was one last lady, little old lady came by. She was using a cane, and she was the last one off the plane. And she said, son, can I ask you just one question? He said, of course, ma'am. What can I do for you? She said, did we land or were we shot down? And so, you know, it's... You stand at the back at the end of the message, and you're kind of like that guy. You're like, I don't know how this is going to go. People are going to be like, that's pretty rough, Pastor, pretty rough. But I want to tell you that I'm excited about the message today, and I just hope that you're praying for God to speak to your heart as I'm praying He'll speak to all of our hearts today. We're learning about fasting and prayer, and I want to talk to you about a proclaimed fast. We looked at some scriptures last week that showed us that when Jesus taught His disciples to fast, And those that were hearing Him to fast, he said, listen, I don't want you to be like the Pharisees and the hypocrites. I don't want you to make a show of your fast. The purpose is not for you to get the praise of men by people looking at you and thinking you're so spiritual. And so when I learned that years ago, it really kind of derailed me a little bit. I think I got off track a little bit, went too far one way, because I thought that we couldn't even really talk about fasting at all. Well, how in the world are we ever going to learn about fasting if we don't talk about fasting? How are we ever going to grow together in fasting if we don't talk about the burdens of fasting, if we don't talk about the blessings of fasting? And so we want to take the time to dig into that. And I also learned later that fasting isn't always private. I think that any believer, any follower of Jesus can fast anytime. Anytime you can make up your mind, I need to get a little closer to the Lord. I've got some burdens that I'm dealing with. I've got some trouble that I'm facing, and I'm going to set aside a time of fasting and prayer. And I think that's something all of us ought to do on a regular basis. We also look in Scripture and we see that there were times that fasts were proclaimed for the congregation. We look in the Old Testament and there were times that the leaders of the Jewish people called for the whole nation to fast. We see in the New Testament there were times that the whole church was together and fasted and prayed. And so listen, that doesn't happen unless somebody stands up and says, we need to give ourselves to fasting and prayer. And so that's what I hope to do. One example of that, if you're taking notes today, is in Ezra chapter 8. Ezra said, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. Ezra, he said, we need to fast so that we can seek God's face and his favor. We would afflict ourselves so that we can know God's will and find his way for ourselves and for our families. That's a good reason to fast. Amen. Don't you want to have God's way in your life and your life of your children today? Amen. Jeremiah is another place in Jeremiah 36:9. It came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah and unto Jerusalem. And so there was a fast there. And even the people of Nineveh, that wicked city, when Jonah finally came and did the work of God and proclaimed the judgment of God was coming, the Bible says that the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. So there are many times in Scripture we see the example of a proclaimed fast, and I believe that that's appropriate and right and necessary and good for Calvary today. Amen. If you're able, let's stand together. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. The message this morning is going to be a little bit different. We're going to kind of walk through this chapter together, a piece at a time. And so this is a passage we looked at almost, I think, 5.5 years ago, and we're going to come back to it today. And if you're not familiar with this, I know you'll be blessed by the Word of God. But please set your hearts and your minds right now to hear from God, because we're reading His Word. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazans on Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Let's pray together. Our merciful Father in heaven, as we come before your throne of grace this morning, we thank you so much for the day that you've blessed us with. Thank you for all who have come together to sing your praises, to pray unto your holy name, and to look for your truth in your holy word. Thank you for those who have joined us online that are unable to be here physically. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless as we're in your word today, that you'll convict our hearts to have a desire to seek your face, to know you, to know your will, and to, by your power and by your grace, obey you. Father, I pray you'll convict hearts this morning. Lord, I pray your Spirit will work in the hearts of those who have never been born again, that today they would repent and believe the gospel, be saved. I pray for the saved that we would follow you faithfully. Those who have never been baptized would publicly follow you through baptism. Those who may need to rededicate their life to you, whatever it is, Father, I pray that you would help all of us to be changed by your word and by your Spirit today. Please help me, for I'm nothing without you. And I just pray these things and your blessings would come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. I think the key to what happened here was in the middle of verse 3 that he set himself to seek the Lord. Now, we can look at the motives that what caused that, and that matters. He was afraid of those who were coming to attack them. He had the Moabites and the Ammonites coming against him to battle, and he knew that Judah wasn't able to defend themselves against the enemy. I think we would do well today to understand that we have an enemy that is coming at us every day relentlessly to do battle. Satan is our enemy. He hates you. He hates your family. He hates this church. He hates everything about God and Jesus Christ. And he is coming to do battle with you every single day. And you may not know it. You may not realize it. But you need to understand that Satan is your enemy and he's coming. And you don't have the strength to defend yourself against Satan. There's an enemy coming. There's an army that is amassed and is marching towards you and your family in this church day after day, and we don't have the power to overcome. I'm going to tell you, it's not only Satan that's coming after us. He's like a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. But we also have to battle something that we can't overcome on our own, and that's ourselves. You see, I'm like the man who looks in the mirror and sees that his own worst enemy is there in the mirror every day. We have to battle Satan. We have to battle ourselves. You see, if you're saved, Jesus has saved you. He's justified you. But we still live in a sinful body. We still have a fleshly mind. And we have to war inside ourselves between the Spirit of God and the flesh that is in us. And we can see it clearly in Scripture. Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul struggled with it. He said, I wrestle. There's a war within my members. The good that I would do, I don't do. The evil I wouldn't do, that I do. And he said, I wrestle with things. There's a war going on, and there's a battle going on. And when we see this war, we would be well to fear. You should be afraid of giving in to your flesh. You should be afraid of being overcome by Satan. But your fear shouldn't cause you to despair. Your fear shouldn't cause you to quit or to give up. Your fear should drive you to seek the Lord. When Jehoshaphat was afraid, he decided that he needed to seek the Lord. I would to God that every one of us would leave here today having set ourselves to seek the Lord. And in order to seek the Lord, he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. He had a desire to seek God's face. He had a desire to know him. In verse 4, Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And I love that. I was thinking a while ago while we were up here and everybody was standing together and praying. And I think that we take moments like that for granted. Some of you have grown up in church or been in church a while, and that's just what we do. We pray together, we stand together, we pray together, and some of you don't even pray while everyone else is praying. Some of you are looking around or digging through your purse or, I don't know, counting the light bulbs in the room. People are not praying when everyone else is praying. I want to tell you, you're missing an incredible opportunity. When the people of God have come together in one place, and when we have one accord to seek God's face in prayer, God will bless. They came together to seek him. They had a desire to know him. They had a desire to have his will in their lives. They came to ask help of the Lord. Now, I'm afraid, friends, that most of us don't realize how desperately we need God's help. We think we got it. And the way we normally operate is just like Israel operated during the wandering in the wilderness, during the time of the judges. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. And things, when we do that, we tend to go downhill. We get away from God. Things get really bad. And when things get bad, we cry out to God. And God is merciful and long-suffering, so he helps us. And we get things are going pretty good again. And we go along and we don't look to God. And we get away from God. And we do what's right in our own eyes. And we begin to decline again. And things get really bad. And we just keep going through this ridiculous cycle of trusting God, looking to God, only when things are really, really bad, and then ignoring God when things seem to be pretty good. But I want to tell you today that I don't care how you're doing financially, whether it's good or bad, you need the Lord. And I don't care how you're doing today physically, whether you're healthy or whether you're sick, you need the Lord. And I don't care how life seems to be going in your mind, how good your mental health is or how bad your mental health is. You need the Lord. Amen. We need him all the time, every day, in every way. And I love this. When Jehoshaphat said, listen, I'm afraid, but I'm going to seek God. And he sends out the proclamation to the whole nation of Judah. He says, we're going to have a fast and we're going to seek God's face because trouble is coming and we will perish if God doesn't save us. And they gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. You know, we've got a great task before us as a church. God has called us to go and make disciples of all nations. He's called us to preach the gospel to every creature. He's called us to walk with him in humility and to serve him in faithfulness. Listen, all the things that God has called us to do, we cannot do on our own. We need God's help. And so when we come together, we need to come together to ask help of the Lord. We need to come to seek the Lord. It's funny how we can do all the right things for the wrong reasons sometimes. That we can have wrong motives. I think it's really good to know your Bible. Let's try that one more time. Don't you think it's good to know your Bible? It's good to know the Word of God. But we don't want to know the Word of God for knowing the Word of God's sake. We want to know the Word of God to know the God of the Word. They were seeking the Lord. In their desperation, they humbled themselves before God. They looked to Him for help, and they came together. Look at verse 5. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If, when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, their children. Hey, listen, Jehoshaphat got the people together, and they all came to seek the Lord. And they were in a time of fasting, and they came together to pray and to worship God. And I want you to look back at verse 6, what he says. O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Listen, Jehoshaphat got up in front of everybody and said, Listen, God, are you not God? Are you not able to do all things? Lord, we come together to trust in you because you have all power. And I want to remind you again today that our God is able to do the impossible. And we ought to be seeking God's face and asking for his help to do the impossible. I told you the other day, just in the last week, I've seen God answer a couple of impossible things. Things that God, that men have said, there's no way that's going to happen. I just don't see how that's going to work out. I just don't see how it's possible. And God did it. And he can do exceedingly above all that we would ask or even think. And we've got to become men and women and boys and girls who believe in God and remember that he is God in heaven. Remember that he is the ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. Remember that there is power and might in his hand, and he can do whatever he wants to do. And what we want to do is get in line with what he wants to do and accomplish and seek his face. I love the end of verse 7. He points back to God's promises to Abraham, and he called Abraham the friend of God forever. Isn't that good? He gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever. Do you feel like that's a really special title that the Word of God gives to Abraham? The friend of God forever? Do you know why Abraham was the friend of God forever? Because he believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. When God called Abram, he said, I'm going to call you, I'm going to set you up, because I know that you're going to follow me. God said, I know that you're going to lead your family and everyone you have influence in to follow me. Are you tracking with me right now? Listen, if you'll hear the Word of God today and believe in him, you'll trust in him, then by his grace, by his power, by his spirit, not in your own strength. Abraham didn't do any of that in his own strength. The Lord was with him. The Lord was his helper. Listen, you, through Jesus Christ, if you are his, you are a friend of God forever. Amen. Jesus said, I've not called you servants, but I've called you friends. If you believe in him, he'll give you the strength to follow him, and you can be the friend of God forever. In verse 9, he said, when this evil come upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then that will hear and help. I want you to know that when they look to the temple, they look to that place of worship where God put his spirit. Listen, we have something so much better today because God has put his spirit in every believer. We don't have to go to a building in Jerusalem on the other side of the world. We have the Spirit of God in us. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost who is in you, because you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. And so the Spirit of God is with us, and we can go to God anywhere, anytime, because he is with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And so he cries out and he said, listen, Lord, and back in Deuteronomy chapter 2, you can look at it, verse 5, verse 9, verse 19. This is where God told them, leave Ammon alone. Leave Moab alone. These are you're not to touch them. And they obeyed God. They didn't invade those places. And now they've come to attack Israel and Judah, and they pray to God. In verse 12 again, our God, wilt thou not judge them? We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. At the revival at Greenwood Monday night, I tried to share a few things that are going on in our world today. And if you just, do any of you still read the news or watch the news? You have, some of you don't want to admit it? Okay. When you watch the news or read the news, do you ever feel overwhelmed? I mean, when you hear about another mass shooting, when you hear about another surge in COVID, when you hear about Antifa attacking people, a friend sent me a video this morning. A group of people in Portland were praying together in a park, and Antifa showed up and started attacking them, their families, and their children. They were shooting fireworks at them and throwing rocks at them, women and men and children. When you read about what's going on in our world today, it can be overwhelming. And you feel like the enemy has gained so much ground. You feel like the enemy is overwhelming you. And I just want you to look at it. We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Listen, it's not that we need to just join together, band together as Christians. It's not just that we need to band together with people that are like-minded. It's not just that we need to stand up against tyranny as a group of people. Listen, what we need to do is submit to the authority of God. What we need to do is look to God for help. What we need to do is say, Lord, we have no might. We have no power. We have no strength. There's no way we can stand against the world. There's no way we can overcome our flesh. There's no way we can stand against the attacks of Satan. We cannot do it, God. We need you. I love the honesty in verse 12. Hey, wake up, men. There's some men that need to hear this morning. He said, neither know we what to do. There's some fellas in the room today where you do well to just admit to God, God, I don't know what to do. And what we ought to do is go to God and say, God, I don't know what to do. Every time I think COVID's over, it just keeps surging back again. And I want to tell you, it's been a struggle for pastors. It's been a struggle for me. It's been a struggle for the church to know what to do the past year and a half. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to believe. I don't know who to believe. Amen. Except for God. I don't care what your position is on all the things COVID related. You see, I some of you get nervous. We could talk about masks. We can talk about vaccines. And some of you, though we are so together in Christ, we would be so divided on our ideas about all of that. And I want to tell you, what's the reason? Well, because it depends on who you're listening to. And you can line up all the experts on this side that say one thing, and you can line up all the experts on the other side that say another thing. And I'm just telling you, this is just one example of an issue that I look at and I go, I don't know what to do. So what do? Well, you fall on your face before God and admit the truth. I don't know what to do. Amen. We don't know what to do. And so we look to God and we wait on God to see what he would say. Notice what it says in verse 13. Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. What does that mean? It meant that they were standing, waiting for God to answer. Amen. We saw the same thing several months ago when we studied Habakkuk. When he cries out to God, he said, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to wait to see what the Lord will say to me when he rebukes me. And so we pray to God and then we wait to hear from God. And listen, maybe COVID's a terrible example, but whether it's your family, your health, your finances, your involvement in the church, your involvement in the community, every aspect of your life, you need to admit, I don't know what to do. You need to to let God know we don't know what to do, and then you need to wait for God to give you direction. But let me tell you how most of us operate. You already know what you want to do. You already know what you think is right. You've already made up your mind what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. And so you may give God a little bit of prayer, Lord, guide us, but you don't wait around to listen to what God says. You just do what you've already made up your mind to do. How do I know that you do that? Because I do the same thing. We're not always right. We get things wrong. I've made mistakes as a pastor. I make mistakes every week as a husband and a father. I've made mistakes in business, made mistakes in friendships and other relationships. I'm just telling you that we don't always get it right. We mess up. And one of these days, friends, we've got to learn to look to God, but then to wait on the Lord. We've got to get a clear direction from Him. They stood and they waited. So they made a decision to seek. The first thing we have to do is to seek Him. And they did that through fasting and prayer. Now listen, we read it in just a few verses, but listen, Judah gathered themselves together. The nation, men and women and boys and girls, they came from all over Judah. This didn't happen overnight. The word went out to proclaim a fast that the enemy's coming, and the people gathered themselves together. That means that they packed up their families and they traveled to Jerusalem. Maybe some not very far, but maybe some traveled for many days. But they traveled and came together, and the whole time they're fasting. The whole time they're praying. And so they're waiting to hear from God. And God would speak to them. Verse 14. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." I want to tell you that because they were seeking God's face by fasting and by prayer, that God spoke to them. And when he spoke to them, his message to them was, listen. He said in verse 15, "Hearken ye." The Spirit of the Lord came, and the message is, listen up. And I want to tell you that God continues to proclaim his message into your ears, but too many times we are dull of hearing. I told you at the beginning that I always want to do my very best when I stand to preach the Word of God for his glory and for your good. But I want to tell you that even if I don't do a good job in my presentation, even if I don't have a great polished outline and just the right illustrations and all the other things that are supposed to make a good message, I suppose, you know, God's word doesn't change. I try to fill every message with a lot of scripture, because if I can't say the right things, his word always does. And there's something that God would say to you from his word every time you hear it. I have no doubt of that. But we haven't been seeking his face through fasting and prayer. We haven't been waiting to hear from God. And so many times we miss the message. Listen, when Moab and Ammon are coming and they're going to destroy you, you know they're going to ransack your homes. You know they're going to burn your cities. You know that they're going to take away your families captive. You're probably going to pay attention to the message. Like, I just wonder sometimes, like, if China or Russia or somebody like that started to invade our country, how serious people would be about looking to God. Like, if the next headline, the next alert that you got on your phone wasn't an Amber Alert, but it was an alert that our coast had been invaded by a foreign nation, you think that would get our attention? A nuclear bomb goes off in New York City. You think that would wake some people up? I wonder sometimes what it would take to actually wake God's people up. Because I'm telling you that it doesn't have to be a nuclear bomb in New York City. There is a real threat today to your family, to your life, to this church, to our nation, to the whole world. And it's a spiritual threat that has far greater consequences than any physical threat ever could. Hearken ye. I think that's a great way to start a message. I don't think he said it quiet. He probably yelled. That talked to everybody, right? And he said, listen up. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not yours, but God's. In verse 17, he said, you shall not need to fight in this battle. I want to tell you that there are some battles that God just does all on his own. You fast, you pray, and you wait on the Lord, and he just takes care of it. There are some battles, though, that you're going to fast and you're going to pray and you're going to wait on the Lord, and you're going to have to put some boots on the ground. There's going to be some things you're going to have to do. You're going to have to put some sweat and some tears and maybe even some blood into it. There's the things that are going to have to be accomplished, and God's going to use you and your physical efforts to accomplish those things. There are going to be some battles you're going to have to fight. There are going to be some hard conversations you're going to have. There's going to be some difficult things you're going to have to do. This battle wasn't that kind of battle, but I want to tell you today, there are some battles that you're going to have to actually do something. There's more to fighting this good fight of faith than sitting in a comfortable pew with the temperature just right. And sometimes the battle has to be fought, but this time it wouldn't be that way. He said, set yourselves, stand ye still, verse 17, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Man, I love that. He doesn't just say the salvation of the Lord, he says the Lord with you. Aren't you glad to know that God is with you? Aren't you glad to know that he's not going to leave you or forsake you, that you don't have to do this on your own? I don't know if you've ever been in a time of desperation where sin just keeps overcoming you and Satan keeps having battles won and victories in your life, and you just feel completely in despair and completely discouraged, and you feel like giving up and you feel like there's no hope for you. I'm going to tell you that I've been there before, and I want to remind you today that you don't have to be afraid because the Lord is with you. You don't have to be dismayed because the Lord is with you. I want you to know, he says it over and over again here, tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And so when you find out that you're seeking God's face through fasting and prayer, you're hearing him when he gives the message, what is the right response to do? Look at verse 18. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face toward the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord, and the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. When the message came, don't be afraid, I will deliver you. The people were so overwhelmed, they just fell on their faces and worshiped the Lord. Have you ever been so overcome by something, some kind of news, that it just completely put you on your knees? You ever been there? I'm afraid that most of us have never sought God's face so seriously, so intently, that we had that kind of response, but that's what they said. They were terrified for themselves and for their family and for their nation. And God said, I'm going to deliver you. And they were so overwhelmed, they just fell on their faces, literally fell on their faces and worshiped the Lord. I think that's a good place for God's people to be. They fell on their faces worshiping the Lord, and then they stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Hey, listen, when you're seeking God's face through fasting and prayer and you're waiting to hear from God and you hear from the Lord, then it brings you to a place of worship and a place of praise. Verse 20 says, they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, get this, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Okay, now I'm not a military guy. Some of you guys are military guys. I don't know a lot about it, but I know this. If you're going to go to battle, I don't think the normal thing to do is get all the army together and then get a choir and a band and set them out front and go into battle that way. Like, I'm just pretty sure that's not the normal way you go about it. Like, I'm pretty sure that our troops over in Afghanistan a few months ago, when they were going through the mountains, they were like, "Hey, let's get a band together. We'll put them out front. And as we go to find these guys in the mountains, we'll just have the band go in front of them." Can anybody see how that might not be the best tactical move? Listen, these people believe God. Jehoshaphat believed God. When God said, "Listen, it's not your battle, you won't have to fight," he believed God. And so he said, "We're not going to go ready for battle, we're going to go for worship." They didn't send the army out front with swords and with bows and with spears and shields. They sent the choir out front. They sent the singers out front. They said, "All right." Now, some of you are like, "No, that's not a bad idea. Let's send them out there first, right? We'll hang back and see how it goes." No, they went with faith, believing God. "We're not going to go out here and fight a battle. We're going to go out here and praise God for the victory he's already given us." Man, how glorious. Do you believe God? I mean, do you really believe him? Do you believe him when things aren't good? Do you believe him when you got that doctor's appointment, you're not sure how it's going to go? Do you believe him when you get that terrible diagnosis? Do you believe him when somebody's in the accident, maybe when you lose a loved one, when things are not good, when things are really hard, when the reality of life and death is real in your life? Do you still believe him? When there's no hope, do you still believe him? One of my favorite stories about faith was the one F.B. Meyer talked about. He was on a ship and was talking on the ship as they were crossing the Atlantic. He was there was an agnostic there that had listened to Meyer preach on the ship. And he said, "I didn't believe a word of it." But then he was going to go back and speak again. So the agnostic said, I'm gonna go listen to this babbler one more time." And while he was on his way, there was an older lady sitting on the deck, and she'd fallen asleep in one of the lounge chairs on the deck of the ship, and she was laying there with her hands like this. He had a couple of oranges in his pockets, and he thought it'd be real funny to set those oranges in her hands. Nobody else thinks that? Some of you would do that. So the lady's asleep there, and he's on his way to listen to the preacher he doesn't believe, but he takes an orange and puts one in each of her hands. She stays asleep, and he kind of chuckles and goes on. And so when he comes back by later, she's eating those oranges, having a great time. And he says, "Oh, how are those oranges? You enjoying those? Looks like you're enjoying them." She said, "Oh, yes, my father is so good to me." He's like, "What do you mean? Like, she's not exactly a spring chicken." Like, he's thinking, surely your dad's not alive. Said, "My father is so good to me." He's like, what are you talking about?" He said, "My father in heaven." She said, "I've been so seasick these past couple of days, and I've been just praying that God would somehow get me an orange to help me with my seasickness." She said, "I fell asleep while I was praying, and when I woke up, God had gotten, my father had not only given me one, but two oranges." Amen. That man later became a follower of Christ. Listen, you're middle of the Atlantic Ocean. There's probably not two oranges on board. Like the chances of her getting an orange on that journey were not very high. But she believed God. She trusted in the Lord. We need to learn to believe God like that. Not only did they believe, but they obeyed. When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Look at verse 23. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil, it was so much. And on the 4th day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Baraka unto this day. And that word Baraka just means blessed. It was a time of blessing. And so they go in praising God. They didn't shoot an arrow. They didn't swing a sword. They didn't throw a spear. But they gathered the spoil for 3 days. And on the 4th day, they're on their way back. And I got an idea. It's about the same place where they started singing on their way in. They stop and gave thanks to the Lord. They stop and remember. By the way, we do well to remember how God has answered prayers. We would do well to give thanks to the Lord for his blessings day after day. And would to God that this place would be known as a place that blesses the Lord. Calvary ought to be the valley of Baraka. Calvary ought to be the placing of where we rejoice in the blessings of the Lord. Verse 27 says, then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with the psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. I wonder today, do we have a heart to seek the Lord through fasting and prayer? Are we waiting to hear from God? When we look into his word, when we come together for worship and preaching, I wonder today, are we worshiping him and praising him, believing him and obeying him as he works in our hearts? Would to God he would give us a heart to seek him and to worship him. I told you before about the story of Robert Falconer. He was in a city and he would go and minister to people who were suffering from different ailments, and he was reading from the scriptures about the woman who wiped Jesus' feet with her hairs. You remember that? After he was talking about it a little bit, he heard someone sobbing in the back, and he went to speak to her, and it was a woman who had been disfigured by smallpox. And she said, will he ever come again? The one who forgave the woman, will he ever come again? Will it be soon? He said, why do you ask? He could come at any time, but why do you ask? She started crying so hard that she couldn't speak, and finally she got out the words, sir, can't he wait a little while? My hair ain't long enough yet to wipe his feet. Would to God that we had a heart to worship Jesus, a heart to seek his face and to worship at his feet. I believe that fasting and prayer are absolutely critical, absolutely vital ingredients to a people who have a desire to seek God's face. You see, in fasting, what we're saying is, God, we want you more than we want our necessary food. God, we want you more than we want anything else. It was a proclaimed fast. Last week, I gave you out some papers that talked about different kinds of fast, and there's more of those available if you need one, but it talked about a major fast, a minor fast, a partial fast, and a soul fast, and I want to do what these men in scriptures have done in the past. I want to proclaim a fast for Calvary. I want to challenge every one of you. Now listen, I know everybody's different. You're in a different place. Some of you have medical issues, need to talk to your doctor, and maybe you can't do a whole fast. Maybe some of you have never fasted before, and maybe you just need to set a little time where you go a few hours without food, or maybe you just skip lunch one day, or whatever it is. Maybe some of you have been fasting for a long time, and it's something that you've conditioned yourself to, but I want to challenge this church that one day, every week, you would set a time aside for fasting and prayer. It may look different for different ones. Maybe some of you, all you could do is skip breakfast. Maybe others of you could say, I'm going to go 24 hours. I'm not going to eat anything. I'm not going to drink anything. I don't know where you're at, but I believe there's room for grace here. I believe that all of us can do something. Maybe you say, well, preacher, listen, I can't give up eating. I've got some health conditions won't allow me to do that. But I believe you could give up something. I believe that you could give up something to focus on the Lord. Maybe some of you can't fast from food, but maybe you could give up some screen time. We'd probably all do well to give up some screen time. But what I'm asking you to do is to make it a part of your life that every week you would take at least one day for fasting and prayer. And you say, what's that mean, Brother Isaac? Does that mean that, like, I just have to stay at home and fast and pray and I can't do anything else? No. No, Jesus taught those that fasted to wash their face, anoint their face, and go about their business so that nobody would know they were fasting. You still go to work, you still go to school, you still do whatever, but you are fasting, and every time those hunger pains come, you're praying. The time that you would be spending eating, you're spending time in prayer and Bible study, and you're feeding your spirit, you're seeking God's face. I want to challenge you to do that and make it a part of your life every single week. I believe that God rewards those who seek his face. I believe that God blesses and answers the prayers of those who seek his face through fasting and prayer and who wait on the Lord. I have no idea how God might use this message in your life today, but I just pray this, that we would all have a desire to seek God's face. If there's anything that you're struggling with in your life, that you could bring it to God in prayer. And if he's calling you to make a decision this morning, I want to ask you to stand with me. The Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. Maybe you say, Brother Isaac, God's not with me. I've never been saved. If you trust in him, he'll be with you, and you'll be a friend of God forever. If you are saved, but you've been holding out, if the thought of giving anything up to be closer to Jesus just terrifies you, you need to pray and ask God to help you today. If he's convicting your heart about anything, you come while we sing.